A good Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we're back in our old studio, refurbished, Baruch Hashem. So, everyone knows that Elul is a time for tshuva, and it's really necessary to define, you know, why Elul is a time for tshuva, because certainly the time for tshuva is the Aser Simei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah is the time of judgment. And after we've taken a reckoning of our deeds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance to fix what we've done wrong and what we may not have passed judgment on. So seemingly the main time of tshuva, the time it's called the Aser Simei Tshuva, 10 days of tshuva, is the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's after we stand judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the nature of the tshuva that we do before Rosh Hashanah, right? The tshuva of the month of Elul, the nature of that tshuva is, and how it differs from the tshuva of the Aser Simei tshuva, that's what I want to explore in today's discussion. So, of course, there's a forum that discusses Parshas HaShavua, and it always works out that the first Shabbos in Elul is always Shoftim. Shoftim is parsha that's always in the first Shabbos in Elul. So that must say something, that's something about the parsha of Shoftim that sets the tone for what the month of Elul is about. So now, the month of Elul, what happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul all those years ago that precedented it becoming a time of going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Rashi points out in Chumash in a few places, right, that the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was called to, come up again, to get the second tablets, to replace the ones that were broken, when God said, "Psolcha shnei luchos avonim karishonim," I want you to chisel out two tablets of stone, like the ones that you broke. Right, so that was Rosh Chodesh Elul. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to produce these tablets and come up to heaven, where God is going to sit with him for another 40 days and nights, and write on those tablets the same writing that was on the tablets that he broke. So Rosh Chodesh Elul is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu is called up, right, to bring these tablets to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And so it's the time of ascending with these tablets to heaven, right? And it's being in heaven for 40 days, which means Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur was the day Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the new Luchas. And so it's this time from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur that Moshe Rabbeinu is in heaven with the Luchas that he chiseled out. And this being called to come up to heaven, right, that's what made the Rosh Chodesh Elul and the whole time of Elul Yemei Ratzon, days of that God now wants us again, because he invited Moshe Rabbeinu up to heaven again with these tablets. Right, that's the historical background to how Elul became a time of going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, chisel out these tablets and come up. He was up till Yom Kippur. Right, now, to understand what that event really means, right, there's philosophical significance behind that event that created the whole nature of the month of Elul. So, with this, we'll go into Parsha Shoftim, and we'll see something very interesting about the Parsha of Shoftim. Right, that amongst the many mitzvahs that there are in this week's Parsha are the mitzvahs that set up our entire system of government in all its branches, the laws of the judiciary, right, which is having a Beis Din throughout Eretz Yisrael and having the halachos of the grand rabbinical court that sat on the Har HaBayis and the Lishkas HaGozes, right. There's there's the whole judicial system. There's the executive, right. There's the laws of the monarchy, right. Right, there's all the laws of a melech, right? There's also all the laws of the authority of a navi, right? What can a Navi tell you to do? The laws of listening to a Navi and what, you know, he's able to instruct you to do. That's also in this week's parasha. And also how to wage war. So everything about, you know, government, right? And, you know, the authorities of the different people, you know, or different entities in the government, that's all in this week's parasha. It's an amazing thing, right? The whole system of how to govern, right, is in this week's parasha. So now, there's an idea. It's in the Zohar. It's in the Rishonim. It's in the Mekubalim, right? You know, it's in Chassidus a lot, right, but it's an ancient concept in Jewish philosophy. And Lahavdil, you know, this concept is also in general philosophy, that the human being is a micro world, right? Or a nation could be viewed as a macro person, right? And the whole reality could be viewed also as a macro person. That just like in a nation, there's the king, and there's the judge, right? And there's the legislative, you know, which is the grand rabbinical court, yeah, that sits on Har HaBayis, right? So executive, legislative, and the judiciary, right? So just like there's that way in, you know, in a country, right? And even on a smaller scale within a state, a small scale within a city, right? That's also the way it is in the entirety of reality, right? There's God, who's our king, and God has his courts in heaven, right? And God judges, and God sets the laws of the Torah, right? There's like, yeah, there's, you know, there's that, you know, way of running reality itself, governing reality, but it's also in the person himself, right? A person has to govern himself, a person has to take control of himself. Right, the the mind, the heart have to govern the person, right? That he conducts himself in a just way, right? And he doesn't let his different forces of personality run amok and run out of control, right? A person's predisposition to do good, and a person's predisposition to do judgment against evil, and a person's predisposition to do whatever he does. All these midas, right, all these character traits of a person have to be firmly under the control of the mind and of the heart, and have to be conditioned and governed. This is something that's like throughout all the works of Chazal and Zohar and the Kabbalah, and it's in the Tanya also. A person is like has to view himself as a mini state, right, and his mind and his heart are the leaders of the state. And he has to govern himself, and he has to govern every aspect of himself, not let any aspect of himself be ungoverned. And that's, you know, what the Sfarim say, Shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha b'chol sharecha, right? You know, appoint judges, and for lack of a better word, policemen, right, in all your gates. So it's in the Zohar, and it's in the Sifrei Chassidus, you know, often mentioned, right, that this refers also to the person. Right, there's the different gateways of a person, right, that out of this gateway comes his power of chesed, power of chesed. Out of this gateway comes his capacity of gevura, of might. And out of this capacity, you know, out of this gateway comes his capacity of judgment, right? All these gateways, that through these gateways emerge, right, the power of his senses and the power of the different powers of his personality. By all these gateways, there has to be a judge and also a cop, for lack of a better words, to govern and make sure that it's everything that he does functions in line with what God wants. Right? So you have to put, you know, a judge and a policeman, for lack of a better word, by every gateway of yourself, by all the gateways that come out of the mind and heart, everything that branches out of the mind and heart, all the forces of the personality. So by all the gates of these powers that expand out from the mind and heart, there has to be the power of judgment, the power of policing it, that should be in line with what God wants. Right? So, this is the parsha of, as it were, building the center of control, right? By which, afterwards, a person could, you know, build his entire personality, right? Based on, right, this center of command and control. Right, to get it clear, right? Right, just like in this parsha, we're talking about the center of command of the entire state. It is like the heart of the nation, right? The Sefer Yetzirah says, you know, Sefer Yetzirah says, right, that Leif Beguf Kamelch B'Melchama. The heart is to the body, like a king is in war. Just like in war, everyone follows the king, right? The king will unite the whole nation and lead the whole nation during its hardest times. So that's what the heart is to the body, right? So the king, the Sanhedrin, the Navi, all these governing entities that we have, you know, that their halachas are outlined in this week's parsha. How to wage war against evil, right? That the halachas thereof are also outlined in this parsha, right? You know, so it's the leadership and how the leadership, you know, can take on challenges, right? That's the heart and mind of a nation. And the rest of the nation, you know, the army, the navy, the air force, the economy, right? All the limbs of the nation, we'll call it. All the external organs of the nation, as the leaders are like the internal organs of mind and heart. All the external organs of the nation, which are, you know, the social and the economical, right? And the military, right? All these things follow, right, the commands of, you know, this mind and heart, right? And step one is to build up the mind and heart. And then after you have the mind and heart fully built up, you can now deal and set up properly the external organs, be it of the person himself, right, be it of the nation, right? Now there's a center of command that the nation could unite around and function based on. But if you don't have this center of command, you don't have anything, right? All the limbs will be ununited and eventually die. I hope this concept is clear. So, you know, something very interesting, you know, and the Shulchan Aruch points it out in this week's parsha. Chazal talk about, you know, six things that the world stands on. There are three that pillars of the world and three things that allow the world to be sustained, right? Three things that the world stands: Torah and divine service and doing kindness. And there are mitzvahs that pertain to these three categories, this week's parasha, right? But then there are saying which another three things which run parallel, right? Three things allow the world to be sustained: din, judgment; MS, truth; and shalom, and peace. And these are even more directly spoken about in this week's parsha with setting up the judiciary. That's din, right? But also having the judiciary and having the king, that also allows for MS. You'll find truth. There's also the laws of peace, that even when making war, you have to first, you know, you give peace a chance. All the halachas of these six things are all in this week's parsha, points out the Shulchan Aruch. So here's an amazing thing to realize. A pillar, right, and we say the world stands on six pillars. These three and these other three, these two sets of three that are parallel. We don't have time to outline how they are parallel at this time, right? But, you know, these, you know, six things support something. A support has to be outside of something in order to support it. If the support is in the thing itself, it won't support it. It'll fall with the thing itself. The support has to be outside of the thing, holding it up. Right? The support has to be outside of it, holding it up. Right? So Parsha Shofar give all the laws of the pillars. Right? You know, and in other words, right, words that we said earlier in this session, you know, Parsha Shofar give all the laws of the mind and heart that the body is built on top of. That without this, the body has no life, the body has no unity, you know, the body has no center of command. Right? So these things are in a certain way separate from the body itself, because they're above the body, they're outside of the body. Above the body, outside of the body, that's how they lead and support the body. You have to be above to lead. You have to be outside in order to support. Right? So that's also the month of Elul. The month of Elul is the end of this year, but it stands outside of the upcoming year, because during Elul we build up the support for the upcoming year, right? Elul, everything that we do during Elul is to build up the support and the pillars for the upcoming year. Elul is the time to build the upcoming year. You're still outside of Tufshin Samach Zayin, 5767, that's rapidly approaching. So Elul is the time to build up the supports that are going to hold 5767. Right? All the things that hold up the world. So the world of 5767, we have to build up these pillars during the month of Elul. And step one in building up these pillars is to build up this system of government that's going to govern, right, this new system called 5767. Build up the pillars, build up the force that will govern it. That's what we have to do during Elul. Right? Shav to Mishon, Titokha B'chol Shrecha, put a judge and a cop by all the gates of your heart, say the Sifrei Chassidus. Right? That's what has to be done during Elul. Right? It's a time to build up the center of command. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing in the month of Elul. Moshe Rabbeinu was not on earth during Elul. He was in heaven. Right? You have to view Elul is above the upcoming year. Right? Elul is on top of the upcoming year, setting up for the upcoming year. Moshe Rabbeinu during the month of Elul was in heaven, right, preparing, right, to bring down Torah to earth. He brings down Torah to earth only on Yom Kippur, which is already in the new year. It's the finality of beginning the new year. The new year has two beginnings to it, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a 10-day process of bringing the new year in. So, month of Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu spends that entire time in heaven preparing to bring down the system for the new way that Klal Yisrael runs. Right? The new system that Klal Yisrael run by, the system of the second tablets. But what he did do on earth, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, prior to his ascending, right, was he chiseled out the tablets. What do the tablets represent? The tablets look like a heart. Right? Kosim aluchas libecha, write them on the tablets of your heart, the pasuk says. And that's why also, even though the tablets were cubical, but I heard from my Rebbe Moshe Shapiro that the minute to write, you know, to draw them as looking like a heart, you know, so curved on the top like a heart, right? That's, you know, because Klaus always understood that the tablets represent the heart, right? And the Baal Turim says, "Remes Frelo, Es Levavcha, Es Levav." Hashem will, you know, correct, will fix your heart and the heart of your children. Es Levavcha, your heart, Es Levav, and the heart of is Rashi Tevis Elul. During Elul, we're building up the heart. We're building up the center of command, right? So that's what he did. He chiseled out the heart, and it's a whole process of building up the heart that the whole body of the upcoming year will be sustained by that heart. During Elul, we build up that heart. And that's the nature of the tshuva of Elul. The tshuva of Elul is beside, is the secret of what Chazal say, that there were six things created before the world was created, and one of them is tshuva. There's an aspect of tshuva that even precedes reality. Even though you would think, wait a minute, well, tshuva is a response to wanting to correct how I sinned. So tshuva is very much post-reality, because it's after everything exists already, and there's a person, and there's temptation, and a person sinned, and now he wants to correct himself. But Chazal say, no, there's the concept of tshuva was created even before the world was created. Right? The necessity for that is, you know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Magdim Refua Lamaka, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives the medicine even before the ailment strikes. So of course, you know, God created the medicine of tshuva even before there could be such a thing as sin. That's part of the depth of why it had to be that way. But what we're saying now is that the tshuva of Elul runs parallel to the tshuva pre-creation. The tshuva that we do during our Seres Yemei tshuva is for the detailed sins that we've done, you know, correcting what we've done wrong. That's the nature of the tshuva of the Seres Yemei tshuva. Right? But the nature of the tshuva that we do during Elul has as a different, a unique aspect to it, that it's more an issue of like the tshuva that precedes the world, and not only to make, you know, as it were, get acquainted with tshuva before we really need it, which is the Aseres Yemei tshuva. It's a lot deeper than that. It's the tshuva of realigning our heart with God. It's the tshuva that needs to be done to rebuild our heart. Es levavcha ve'es levav, right? Your heart and the heart of your children. That's Rashi Tevis Elul. Es levavcha ve'es levav. during Elul, we have to build up the heart that governs our whole Jewish personality. The new Jewish personality that we want to emerge with by the end of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? The new Jewish personality, the time to build up the heart, right, of this new Jewish personality, the mind, the heart, the governing system of it, which is a system that's above it, right? To build up the system that supports this Jewish personality. So the support has to be outside of it in order to support something. So that's what we're doing during Elul. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. He wasn't on earth during Elul. He was in heaven going through, you know, preparations and going through a whole process of bringing something down to earth. And he brings it down to earth on Yom Kippur. But the month of Elul is above next year. It's like being in heaven relative to the upcoming year. We're above next year, building the pillars that will support next year, building up the governing system, building up our minds and hearts that will govern our renewed Jewish selves. That this renewed Jewish self is first born on Rosh Hashanah. But right now is the time that we're, you know, building up the mind and heart that will govern it, building up the system that will support it. In short, during Elul, we're building up the whole next year.